We're talking today with Michael Kelsey from the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association. First week of the legislative session under our belt. We've got it done. And I know that the elephant in the room obviously was the step up proposal. But let's get some of the things that happened other than step up. First of all, talked about what are some things important to the cattle industry and to the ag community?
You bet. A couple things that we saw this first week: some private property issues that we worked on. The House Ag Committee met and considered three bills. One dealt with flying drones over private property, and this is a bill we're very supportive of. Mr. Murdoch out of the Northwest, Representative Murdoch. What it does is it prohibits the flying of a drone unless you're an easement holder like a utility line, which in that case we actually prefer the drone rather than someone driving through our pastures, or law enforcement, etc. But private property, you can't fly that drone. So very important there. The agriculture hemp bill did spend a good bit of time in House committee. There was some time there to get everybody comfortable with what exactly we're talking about, that this deals with livestock feed and fiber. That's what this deals with. And so once that was established and folks kind of got on record with their good questions and so forth, the bill moved forward and proceeded forward and moved along. We're working on some ag sales tax exemption bill. Ron, there was three ag sales tax exemption bills filed this session. That's more than I've ever seen in my tenure. In fact, that's the only three I've ever seen in my tenure. So that tells us the seriousness of this revenue issue. Lots of other things that are upcoming that we're going to kind of work on. We're working on trailer tags. There's a couple of bills regarding that, and we need to be at the table, and we are to converse over that and so forth, and a lot of other issues. But you're right, the elephant in the room, almost to the point where you can't hardly even get in the room, if you will, is the step-up proposal and where it's at in the process.
Now, this is a kind of a multifaceted elephant, if you want to call it that. So, I mean, at forefront, and everybody's talking about the revenue portions.
That's it. There's a pack of pachyderms, if you will, on this. There's a lot of elephants, but it's a big package. But you're right. There's probably, Ron, half a dozen to seven or eight bills in this package. And because of our Constitution that prohibits log rolling, meaning you can't put a lot of different subjects into one bill, that's why there's so many different bills. The big one's the revenue package, and it includes four basic pieces, which is the tobacco tax, the fuel tax, the gross production tax in terms of oil and gas, and then the wind GPT is what it's commonly called, but it's $1 per megawatt. That's the big one. That's the vast majority of the revenue, almost exclusively. There's a few others that have littler pieces of revenue, such as the ball and dice issue with Indian gaming, casinos, and so forth, but that's the big one. That's the one that requires 75% on the House floor. It passed out of House committee 21-5. 19 Republicans, all the Republicans that were present, plus two Democrats voted for it, and five Democrats voted against it. In committee, it only needs a simple majority. When it goes to the House floor, though, that's where State Question 640 kicks in and requires 75%. That vote's going to be on Monday afternoon, as well as the rest of the other pieces of legislation, bills that deal with the Indian gaming and the reform packages regarding the governor's authority and all those types of things. But all this hinges on that revenue bill. Mm-hmm. If that revenue bill doesn't pass, then really the rest of it doesn't come into play. And so this is a big issue. It's a big issue for agriculture. We're obviously our membership decided to jump on board and support the step-up process, the overall philosophy of the fact that this bill is broad. It brings everybody to the table. Everybody's contributing a little bit, not relying on just one industry or one entity, but everybody, and really in our sense, protecting as well what's very important to us, which is property taxes ad valorem and that sales tax exemption in this case. So a very important piece of package of legislation. We encourage folks to understand what's going on and understand that Monday is a big, big day.
And there are going to be a lot of people at the Capitol.
A lot of people at the Capitol. I already know of several huge groups coming in. There's going to be a lot of educators there, a lot from the health profession that's going to be there. I suspect that there'll be a lot of the opponents. The opponents are working on, there's a couple of no new tax groups and so forth. And I suspect they'll have some folks there as well. But there's going to be a lot of vocal participation in our process. And you know, Ron, if I can, I am so thankful we live in a country where we have the ability to do that. There's a lot of countries that if you want to participate in your government like that, you can't, number one, or you do so at the risk of your health and your life. Isn't it great that we live in a country where we can do that? So forgive me if you will, going off there, but I'm really thankful that we have that in place where we can come together and debate and discuss these and do so in a civil manner and then move forward, hopefully move forward together.
Now, within that revenue package, are all bundled together.
Yes.
I know that a lot of discussion within your policy meeting a few weeks ago regarding the fuel tax.
Yes.
And the desire to make sure that it goes back to roads and bridges. Do you have any commitment on that?
We do have some commitment on that. And, of course, we want as much as we can get. So we want to secure road and bridge funding. We need good roads to continue to take our cattle to market, if you will. So we do have some commitment on that. Excuse me, we're tickled with that. We want to keep pressing that issue, keep pushing that, because not only does Step Up need to provide that, but the state has an obligation to provide it as well, independent of Step Up. So we want to make sure that we continue and keep and hold that firm. But yes, we do have that commitment, and we're thankful for that, and we're going to continue to move forward.
Might back up just a little bit to the ag sales tax exemption measures. Serious at this point? I mean, you know, what's your early take on those three measures?
I think it's very serious. I think we have to take this very serious. If you look at the amount of revenue that could come into the state if the sales tax exemption were not in place for agriculture, that's a significant number. And so there are folks who don't understand why that's in place, why agriculture absolutely must have that. And so they look at it only as a number. And if you put their shoes on for a minute, if you will, or look through their glasses, that makes sense. It's a big number. It's a number that would help the state in that sense. So what we have to do is explain it, defend it, justify it, and then advocate for it. And again, I've never seen this many true ag sales tax exemption bills put into play, in a session. So it's very serious, and I think we need to be very vigilant about working on it. As well, I should say this, Ron, too. We need to be very cautious in the sense of we need to make sure we're using it correctly. There's some fraud out there. There is. I think we need to be honest about that. And we, if there's opportunity for us from a regulatory fashion, working with the tax commission to clean that up a bit, to make sure that the folks that are using it are legitimate agriculture producers, you know, in our case, good OCA members that are producing beef cattle, that protects it for everyone. Fraud actually then lessens our ability to keep it. So we're actually looking at some ways with the Oklahoma Tax Commission. They've been very open door to work with us on how can we educate and then how can we walk through that process. If somebody's misusing that, mm-hmm. Let's find that out and let's clean that up, and because that's at the detriment of all of us.
One of the questions, as far as I know, that we got revenue numbers out in the last few days and that they're improving. I mean, is there much conversation about that at the Capitol?
That's really interesting. Yes, there is. Not as much as you'd think. I think the reason for that is because that is so volatile. For instance, yes, those have been good. Those state revenues have been good. But what's the stock market done, you know, this past 2-3 weeks? I mean, it has just tailed off. And now, if I understand it correct, we're in a correction, if you will, less than 10%. And so people then are not putting as much weight on that state revenue number, income, if you will, because of the volatility. That's my opinion on why that's not being as talked about as much as maybe we've seen in the past. We'll see how that comes forward as we move forward. But I think that's an interesting point. The volatility's there. And so do we want to put in place some more reliable measures in terms of revenue or do we not? And I think that's going to be part of the big question coming Monday.